Look at you go, knocking stuff out, letting nothing get in the way. Whatever life throws at you, you throw it back at 97 miles an hour. And if the chips are down, you make more guacamole. Yes, you got what it takes. Because there's no stopping you with you on your side. Everwise believes in the power of you, cheering as you take on the world. Everwise Credit Union. Confidence changes everything. Now go get 'em.
Take a look at this polio string cheese right now. It looks like a normal polio string cheese, right?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, it's in on Raven. It's as hard as a rock. You want to know why?
Why?
Because I found it under my couch. And I've been thinking about it. How long has it been under there? Months? Years?
Right.
Days? Who knows? When I found it, I thought to myself, should I eat it? Isn't that nasty?
I mean, as a way of figuring out the experiment, figuring out what the end of the hypothesis was, or just the fact that you can't resist a polio string cheese.
A little bit of all of it, I think, is what comes together. One, I'm disgusted by the fact that there was a polio string cheese that was living under my couch. To be fair, it was also paired with a bunch of goldfish and animal crackers.
Right, and dust bunnies, I'm guessing, right?
Nastiness.
So it's like a whole ecosystem down underneath there.
Yeah, but what alarmed me the most is the fact that it looks completely normal.
Right.
Yeah, it's like it's supposed to be cheese. Like, shouldn't it mold or something?
You see those posts from time to time, right? Or the Reddit lines or whatever where they talk about, here is a 30-year-old Big Mac or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, come on, is that for real? But I still want a Big Mac when I see it.
Still looks good.
Right.
Polio string cheese still look good. A little bit dry, but overall, like, if I was hungry enough, maybe I'd take a bite, which is pretty nasty.
I wish I was that lucky to find something that was just food and properly sealed like that underneath a piece of furniture. We just cleaned my attic out because they did the roof, obviously, and we're having a bunch of stuff done. And so I cleaned the attic out. All I found was a dead mouse.
Ew.
And I think a part of a bird. But I think the mouse ate the bird before the mouse then died. It was a long, cold winter that year.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, no, I don't know when it's from. It's way back. I'm always amazed at the resiliency of animals to survive. Like when, you know, the mice that are in my shed shred all our patio furniture pads and set up like a penthouse full of foam and make it through a cold winter.
Yeah.
That's always impressive. It angers me. Unbelievably much so, but yes, it's impressive.
Circle of life,
Ryan. Right?
That's how it works.
Yeah, well, just screw me in my pads, I guess.
I think a lot of people have been finding really strange things around their house, especially even though it's obviously fall, winter, but everyone's been spring cleaning because we've been home so much because of the quarantine and the pandemic.
You need every inch of your space, too. You got to set up a classroom or whatever half the times. You're in the closets you haven't opened in a long time. That's true.
What's the nastiest thing you have found when you were cleaning out your house? 1-800-330-9999. Call or text. It's Anna and Raven. What's the nastiest thing you found when you were cleaning out your house? It's Anna and Raven. A lot of, even though it's fall, spring cleaning going on. I feel like this has been the year to clean out the house.
I don't think you have to call it spring cleaning once we get to the fall, winter time.
Well.
I mean, you're just cleaning.
Cleaning.
Right. COVID cleaning, maybe?
Maybe.
Because it's still going on.
That works. I found a polio string cheese under my couch, and what shocked me about the polio string cheese was the fact that it looked like it was brand new.
Right.
You couldn't even tell that it'd probably been there for months, years, decades, maybe.
A little bit longer until the plastic would yellow, I'm guessing, but you know it's not right.
Right.
When you can slap it against something, and it sounds like that. That's not what I think of when I think of string cheese.
What's the strangest slash nastiest thing you found when you were cleaning out your house this year? 1-800-330-9999. Tana and Raven.
My 3-year-old son refused to be potty trained. He would do everything in his power to not use potty. He was like afraid of it. I thought he was holding it because he didn't go for like 2 days. Then I found a pile of it hidden in the crib between our couch and the love seat.
Oh my God, it's like the dog. It's like the dog from the old tenants that lived there.
Oh.
As funny as it sounds, I'm pretty sure, and you've heard my wife say this, Hannah, that we think that the people that owned the house before us, they had like 4 kids. One of those kids had a rep in the neighborhood as like he would just go wherever he was. He would just do whatever, and they would just laugh and be like, oh, that happens. I'm pretty sure that kid used to pee all over the house too.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, we clean and clean. But every once in a while, if the sun hits something right, you're like, wait a minute.
What's that smell?
Yes.
Yeah. I have a nephew like this actually going through this right now. Is they get scared and they have to release. So they go and they hide and they do it. It's actually really sad.
But is it scared or is it anarchist?
No, it's
an anarchist in training. They're just like, oh, chaos. Oh,
imagine if you were scared of the toilet. It's scary when it flushes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm scared of walking into whatever they are doing. I'm scared of that.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the nastiest thing you found while cleaning out your house?
I had my shaving cream explode in my bathroom cabinet. Like, I didn't notice it at all for a very long time. So when my wife was cleaning it out, it had rotten all through the cabinet wood all the way to the floor.
Oh, man. You leave it in there long enough, that stuff will, like, eat through stuff.
It ate through the cabinet? That is some serious shaving cream. You put that on your face?
Yeah, feels real good.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the nastiest thing you found while cleaning out your house?
When I was in college, I live in the dorms, and we always hear this noise under the stove. Like, we just, you know, a bunch of guys, and we never did anything about it. Finally, when we moved, the stove, there was a dead skunk stuck underneath the stove. So we used to leave the front door open. It must have come in. So that was the worst. The worst.
How did the skunk not grow afraid enough to shoot its stank?
I don't know.
I mean, you would think.
It was nice and warm over there.
You would think that, you know, people would know.
Are you trying to evaluate the psyche of a skunk right now?
I'm just saying the death blows, I think, would involve that potent stank bomb. But that's just me.
We need a
scientist. If I'm going out, I'm going out with a bang.
Ooh. Speaking of random things that you find in your house, because of the pandemic, you may be getting a lot of these under the tree. 85% of people say they will give something homemade as a holiday gift this year. Show offs. It's Anna and Raven. I don't understand. I have this intense jealousy / appreciation for people that are really crafty and that can do things like this.
Yeah, but I mean, to be fair, you've got to be really crafty, because if you give me something handmade, the sentiment is definitely there. But if it looks a little cockeyed or something like that, the shallow part of me, I'm just being honest, I'm not into it.
Well, it's true. And this is going to be the biggest year for do-it-yourself stuff, because so many people have been home and they've taken up new hobbies that they're excited to show off all the things that they've made over the last 10 months.
Look at the skill I've created, right?
Yeah.
I'm so talented now.
And I'm here for it, because I think when you do get something that's really beautiful, that's homemade, that you know that somebody put time and effort in, it's like the most superior of gifts.
It's moving.
But my sister-in-law and my sister are both really crafty, beautiful, designing kind of women.
Yeah, I can't
so
do that.
They make, like, these meaningful, loving, like, picture frames for my parents. It's like they're always one-upping me.
How do they come up with this stuff?
I'm like, here, Ma, here's your gift card to Bloomingdale's.
Right.
Oh, Jasmine made a beautiful portrait of all the grandkids together that she handmade with chicken scraps. That's nice.
Right. It's always something like that.
Right. So I was like, you know what? This year, I'm going to be different. This year, I'm going to be like all the other people. And I'm not going to lie. One of my girlfriends got into really, it's called Cry Cut. I might be saying it wrong. Cricut? Cry Cut?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's the machine. Right.
So if you haven't heard about
this. Cuts out different material. Everybody's heard about it, Anna.
Okay.
Everybody has heard about it.
Well,
it's a machine that cuts stuff up.
So I think it's like a cheat sheet for people like me that don't know how to do things.
You can get crafty. You can put stuff on glasses.
Yeah.
Or, you know, clothing, different stuff. Yes.
So I was thinking about investing in one of them. I think they're like $100 or something like that.
A couple hundred for the fancy one, I think. Yeah.
I watched one to the website. They have a whole bunch of different ones. And I could start making things for people.
Right.
But then I was like, well, what am I going to make? And then I was like, you know what? For you and our two producers here, I'm going to make your Christmas presents this year. Don't you think that you would rather have, instead of like a bottle of liquor from me,
no,
something homemade that I made with my Cry Cut
Cricut? I know
Cricut.
1,000 people with one of those Cry Cut Cricut things, whatever they are called.
Right.
And I'll probably get a couple of those gifts. So I'm not sure that I need another one of those. I'm going to be honest. It's got to be very, very clever if you're going to make one of those.
Well,
and every time I grab a cup that somebody made, I feel the sticker on it.
I know.
Yeah.
And you can't put them in the dishwasher because then it comes apart.
Comes apart immediately.
But
you got to hand wash.
I feel like if it's extra special, it's okay.
Yeah.
So I looked up the most popular do-it-yourself gifts from Pinterest because, you know, Pinterest is like the mecca for all people that,
sure,
are,
that
crafty.
Are crafty. Right.
Yeah, yeah. So these were the top things. Number 5, infused syrups. I can't do that. We know that I can't do that.
I mean, that just sounds like you're making moonshine.
Yeah.
All right? Best not to mess with people's health.
Tote bags. We've all got those tote bags now because, like, you can't use plastic bags anymore. Everyone's got tote bags.
Tote bags are useless.
Yeah. Regulation cornhole sets. I don't know how to cut wood. But I don't know. That seems hard. But the number one thing on Pinterest that you and producer Sean and producer John are definitely getting this year.
What's that?
Tequila bottle hummingbird feeder. This is the number one thing that people make on Pinterest. It's literally taking a bottle of Patron and making it into a hummingbird feeder.
So you just,
I can
like,
do this.
Basically throw it upside down.
Yep. Decorate it.
Right.
I'm going to use that cricket thing.
Dazzle it.
I have exactly 1 week to drink 3 bottles of Patron. This is something that's up my alley.
I believe in you.
Yeah. All right. We'll let you know how it goes.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 It's all I need to know about you. It's Hannah and Raven. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You can always call or text 1-800-330-9999. If you're Mike Tyson and you have a plan to pass your drug testing and it's this, that's all I need to know about you.
No, I put my baby's urine in it.
Oh, my God.
I'm just hoping that one day I use my wife. My wife said, baby, you better not hope that it comes back pregnant or something.
Yeah.
And I said, no, so we ain't going to use you no more. We're going to use the kid. Because I got scared that it might come back pregnant.
Mike, you're pregnant.
Yeah.
Guys. That's Mike Tyson. Like, that's legit what he's talking about right there. Is that he would use his baby's pee-pees so that he could pass his drug test.
Sure.
And no one thinks that's weird. No one thinks that's odd. And no one thinks it's even stranger that he couldn't use his wife because he thought she might be pregnant. And
listen,
then what?
We've covered this before. There is a huge industry, actually, with people that resell their urine online.
Gosh.
And it's not just, you know, some people they buy it for fun, and other people it's, you know, passing drug tests, that type of stuff.
Buy it for fun.
Yes. Yeah. There's a whole group of people out there that enjoy that type of stuff.
That's
I'm not going to get into it.
I don't want to know about that world.
Exactly. So let's stop there.
Yep.
But you won't forget that nationwide, 7-Eleven had to put out an advisement that they no longer were going to allow people to come in and use their microwave unless it was products that they bought in their store. Because what happens is you get the urine shipped to you, and then you have to stick it in a microwave for X amount of time, and then keep it close to your body to take it to the drug test. Yeah. Yeah. It's a pretty serious thing. Yeah. The Wizinator.
Why do you know so much about this?
I know people in my neighborhoods that have questionable backgrounds.
Let's
just
move on.
Put that way.
That's all I need to know about you.
Right.
If you are
can't stop Mike Tyson from showing up and pounding Roy Jones Jr., though.
Well,
that is happening. Thanksgiving weekend. Enjoy, America.
If you were bullied in school and you wanted to get back at them at your high school reunion, and this is your plan on how to do it, that's all I need to know about you.
I want to send a hotter, more successful lookalike to my 10-year high school reunion.
Okay.
to start going as a body double?
Yep.
Your proxy.
And he did it. He sent a younger, hotter guy to go. And everybody basically said to him, like, you're not that like, that's not you.
They figured it out. That's upsetting.
And then it gets stranger because then he says this at the end, all emotional.
I did not anticipate this in any way, and I didn't think that I was still relative in their thoughts, even at, like, you know, 10 years after high school. But
wait a minute.
I got proven wrong.
Wait a minute. The first
guy
had a British accent.
No. They sent the actor that he hired to play him.
Yeah.
Didn't have an English accent, even though he had an English accent. I don't care.
And he sounds like he's 20 years younger.
Right, he did.
He sounds like that's his son.
Like, if you're going to pick, like, choose somebody that's a lookalike to you to go to your high school reunion,
right,
shouldn't they have the same accent as you?
I mean, at least try.
Something?
Right.
Right. Oh, that's all I need to know about you.
It's a bit embarrassing.
Yeah. Coming up next. What restaurant chain has the best bread? If you want to call in early, 1-800-330-9999. Only the serious conversations here with Anna and Raven. The bread that they give you at chain restaurants is a gateway drug. I just go on tilt every single time.
No question about it.
Yeah. It's Anna and Raven. I've been trying to lose some weight for, I don't know, my entire life, 40 years, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah. And I'm on Noom now. Noom.
Yep.
Getting tired of it, but
that's the Noom normal.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. So it says, like, when it comes, like, the bread, you're supposed to, like, turn it away. You're supposed to
ignore it. Ask
or,
it not even to be at the table.
Yeah.
Tell them to cart it away.
But it's all, like, the psychological stuff, too. So you can have, there's nothing you can't have on Noom. You can only have one. You tell me that you can just break a little piece off of whatever that delicious bread is and you have that little piece and you're good. No, I'm going to eat till there is nothing left.
Well, everybody knows that they stuff you full of the bread. That way, you know, you feel like your dinner portion is bigger when it finally gets to the table. I took the wife out the other night. She insisted she loves Olive Garden. Of course, you know, it's not the fanciest place or whatever, but we go in. It's a decent meal. And then the trick comes once they deliver the bread, Anna. Who's going to eat more of the bread, right? So if there's two of you at the table, now they only bring you four breadsticks now at Olive Garden. Used to bring, they bring you six, seven, whatever. Yeah. Now they're bringing you four.
Oh.
Now that means that you own two and the other person owns two.
Right.
But what happens if they're resisting? That means that you've now eaten three and they've only had one. And here comes the second load of bread. And oh, wait, I ate all of those too.
You have to just keep eating. There's nothing you can do until there's no bread left on the table.
The garlic, the salt, and the butter, the combination is such that I have to just, I'm like a moose in the middle of the woods if I'm a salt lick. Like, I've got to work that bread basket.
But, I mean, Olive Garden, I guess, but... Rest in peace, Bertucci's. I know there's not a whole lot of them left anymore.
But they're still holding on in a couple spots.
But when you get that basket of that Bertucci's bread, and then on the side there's the oil, I literally just want to take the entire worm roll and just smother. I want to, with my fist, and smother it around in the oil.
Roll around in it.
And then I just want to take it, and I want to put the entire Bertucci's roll right directly into my mouth. And it's not going to slow me down. And then I got to look around and see if anybody's seeing me.
Oh, everybody saw you.
As I'm getting more.
The whole table saw you. The whole table, because they want the bread also.
And here's the thing about having kids. The kids always want the bread.
Right.
And you have to say to them, no, mommy wants the bread too. And then it looks like you're being terrible because you want to eat their bread.
Let's face it. You know, at some of these chain restaurants, the bread is the signature item. Even though they won't say that, it is. It's the thing that you're after.
Right. What's your favorite bread? What chain restaurant has the bread that makes your mouth water, that you cannot resist it, that you will throw Noom out the window and you will just eat it till there is nothing left in that basket? And then you'll shyly ask for more. Can we have another basket of bread, please?
Right.
Yep. 1-800-330-9999. Your calls and texts are coming up next with Anna and Raven. Despite my diet saying that I'm not supposed to eat an entire basket of bread when I go to a chain restaurant, it's literally all I want to do. Raven and I have been having a disagreement on who has better bread. For a lot of the Bertucci's are gone, but right. I still think they hold reign as one of the best bread that they bring at the table.
Olive Garden breadsticks, man. It's like a javelin of yeast right into your mouth. Delicious.
1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. Who has the best restaurant bread?
Hands down, Texas Roadhouse.
Texas Roadhouse is good. It is on my short list of good, desirable breads. You are right.
But what makes it better? The fact that it has...
Because it's the Texas toast, man.
No, because of the maple butter. Like, that. What's in that butter that makes it so yummy?
You know, that stuff comes out freaking hot. It's not cold butter. We're talking hot butter on a hot piece of bread.
So it's not just...
And only 330 calories per roll, so worth.
Wait, what? That's not okay, 330 calories?
How does he know the calories? What? How does he know?
Oh, that's really bad.
Yeah, that's really bad. I'd have to not eat for 3 days to be able to have that in my calorie count. But Thank you for the call.
Some things are worth it.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's got the best bread?
Red Lobster.
Yeah, Red Lobster is good. So I worked at Red Lobster, and if you were a good server at Red Lobster, you made sure that bread was always pumping. Plus, you had to have the timing down with the kitchen, because everybody's after that bread. Every server is going in there, and they're loading up the bread. Used to be they let you give out as much bread as you wanted to at Red Lobster, Anna.
Mm-hmm.
Then they made like a memo that came out that they were like, no, put one or two extra rolls than the amount of people that were at the table there in the bread basket. Before that, I'm walking out with like 5 pounds of bread.
But those are biscuits. I don't know if I would qualify that as bread.
Are you crazy?
Mm. And you know that, like, if you go to the regular grocery stores, you could buy the box to make it, but it's not the same.
Oh,
don't fall
same.
For that.
No, it's definitely not
no,
the same.
Never.
No,
never.
You're right.
God, I wish I had one of those right now.
And Ann Raven, who's got the best bread?
Red Lobster cheddar biscuit.
Oh, you're not the first person to say that so far.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Never hesitate on the Red Lobster cheddar biscuit. And I'll tell you what, they actually changed that formula sometime in the last decade or so, and it changed the whole experience for me.
Really?
Yes.
How come I don't
Shrimp Feast?
You'll order one more time before you leave the restaurant and they give it to you to go.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. That's the oldest trick in the book.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Nobody's leaving here with an empty basket of bread biscuits. Are you kidding me?
How many do you think they have to make a day?
Oh, hundreds. A million? Of thousands. I mean, for the chain wide, millions. It's the only thing that kept them in business the last 5 years.
On our Facebook page, there's a really interesting argument going on. You can just search for Anna and Raven about the Cheesecake Factory bread and Outback bread. So, interesting, because Outback bread is the jam, but it's actually not great.
So I actually was just at Outback like a week or two ago, and the bread is decent, but first, it's small.
Yes.
All right? And it's super, super squishy. So when I cut it, now it's like a smashed slice of it.
Yep.
And then I want to eat the entire loaf by myself. And again, when you're at a table with people sharing, forget it. And then they're stingy about bringing you a refill of the bread at Outback. I don't know why.
I don't know. You have to, like, fight them for it. Yeah, it's like you have to ask 10 times. But Cheesecake Factory, the sourdough bread, that's the white one, right?
I can't really remember. It's been a long time since I walked into a Cheesecake Factory.
There's two different kinds that they give you. And the saddest is when they're out of one and you only get, like, the other one.
Yeah. Because
you really need both.
They go together. It's like a PB&J.
Yeah. They actually call it their famous brown bread. And now you could actually enjoy it at home. I've never seen this in a grocery store in my life. I like them both. They're both delicious, but I need them paired with each other. One without the other is sadness.
I understand.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we're going to take a bath and see if it's as gross as we thought it was going to be.
I hate every part of this.
If you missed it yesterday, right around this time, my girlfriend Olivia, who lives in San Francisco, was talking about how she drew herself a bath to relax from the stressful week. CNN on Raven. Which Raven and I think is disgusting because what adult takes a bath? It's nasty.
Draw yourself a bath. What are you, a queen?
Grandma.
You have a butler?
Yep.
You know, is that my 96-year-old grandmother sinking into it?
It's weird.
Are we going to wash your hair, too, for the first time in a month?
That's what I said. And as I was looking over our comments, because we wrote about how gross we think baths are on our Facebook page, the general consensus is that you take a quick shower first, and then you fill the tub and you take a bath. And they're saying to put Epsom salt, glass of wine, and a bath bomb. That's how you relax.
That's what I was telling you. Like, if you're going to bathe, a little Epsom salt is the way to go, I guess. But it's been 1,000 years. And let's be honest, who's got the hot water heater capacity to go shower and then bath and be at a comfortable temperature? I don't know who those people are, but they sound wealthy.
To me, I think you're just bathing in your own filth and it's nasty. Unless you're over the age of, under two, then it's okay. Otherwise, if you're under 2 years old, you're good. Otherwise,
you're always a little bit dirty at that age anyway.
Well, because like, that's the only way to clean you.
Just hose you off.
Yeah. So Raven and I decided to take baths last night. This is how it went.
All right, it's bath time. Okay, let's get in. Oh, I made it too hot. It's hot. Ah! Hold on, we're gonna add some cold water.
Are you in there with your baby? Like, is that just you?
No, it's just me, but she's going to come in. First of all, you always make the bath too hot, and it's hard to gauge it.
Right.
I have one of those rubber duckies that the bottom turns a different color if the water's too hot for the baby.
Okay.
But I didn't think to use it for myself because I thought as an adult I'd be able to hand it. Guess what? I couldn't.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Right.
Okay. That's better. Okay, now what? Oh, no, Dakota. No, you're not coming in with mommy. You're not coming in with mommy. Now you're going to get your own bath later.
Here comes the baby. It's not like I can actually be in the bathroom by myself for more than 5 minutes, right?
Nope.
All right, now what? Am I supposed to relax? Am I supposed to relax in this bathtub?
Mommy.
Yeah.
Mommy.
Yeah, mommy's taking a relaxing bath.
Mommy.
No, mommy's taking a relaxing bath.
No.
Yes, mommy can take a bath too.
She's so mad. She's so mad. She's like, no!
Let me in the pool.
Right.
God forbid you be doing something that I am not the center of the universe at this moment.
At this point.
Kids, man.
She's got one leg over it with her sock in the water.
It's the most mobile she's ever been.
Yep. Right. She's like, I'm going to jump right over this thing, Mommy. What are you doing in there?
All right. Just 5 minutes. 5 minutes, Mommy's back.
Here we go.
I don't know. I don't find this all that relaxing. Nope. Feel like I'm just in dirt.
Right. It's not like I'm relaxing while I'm fighting off my 2-year-old coming into the bath.
Right. On top of stiff that, arm.
It's just I'm sitting in filth. But then again, there comes the other one.
Mom, what are you doing?
Mommy's taking a relaxing bath.
You
complain about me using my bath bomb about 7 months ago.
I'm not using your bath bombs. Dakota, put that down.
Yep. Now Dakota's going through the cabinets, pulling everything out.
Right. Let me get some cleaning products out here. Oh, is this Pine Sol?
Yeah.
This smells delicious. I'm going to drink this.
Let me put it right in my mouth.
Right.
Here comes Hayden, my 11-year-old. Are you using my bath bombs, Mom? Mom, use my bath. Yeah. You know what? Disgusting. I felt like I was in filth. Okay. It was nothing relaxing about it whatsoever.
Good to know.
But how was your experience, Raven?
Well, you know that I wasn't on board to try it in the first place. I mean, I've had a bath before in my life, but we've got that coming up.
Caught a lot of criticism when we said that baths were disgusting. You're basically just bathing in your own filth every time you take one.
I mean, it seems nasty, and it seems like plausible information.
It's Anna and Raven. So we decided to take our own baths. I tried to take one. If you missed it, that happened a few minutes ago. My kids did not leave me alone, and I wanted to do it after they went to bed, and it just didn't happen. And it was too stressful. There was nothing relaxing about it.
Yeah, it didn't sound very relaxing. And what kind of 11-year-old is really into bath bombs? It's like a thing now.
No, they all do it. They all have the bath bombs. We can thank Lush for that. Okay, so Raven, you got in the bath yesterday. Let's see how it went.
All right, I'm going to be honest. I haven't run a bath in this place in a long time. My wife was nice enough to clean it out, so it is sparkling. My bathtub is not huge. I'm not sure that it's meant for like an adult person.
I just fit in my bathtub.
Right.
And I thought...
And you're shorty.
Yeah, I'm only 5'2", so I was wondering, if you're a tall person, how do you take a bath in these, like, small tubs?
Seems like baths used to be bigger, all right? They want to get that extra 2-3 inches of hallway space now at this point anyways, I guess. I don't know.
That should be pretty good. Yeah, I think about a bath. I don't take them often, like I said, but it seems to me you got to make it really hot or else it's cold, like, right away. I don't know if that's science, if that's a temperature adjustment thing with your body, but it is what it is.
It's definitely science. It's 100% science. Everybody,
I mean, you
got to
get in there when it's scalding.
Yeah. When you get in, your whole skin will inflame and turn red.
Yeah.
And that's how you know you've taken the correct temperature bath to begin.
You sweat on the top of your head because, of course, it's not a shower. You don't have water raining upon you. And then immediately I'm cool. That's just the way I am typically.
Yeah.
It's hot. So here we go. Getting in is always the hardest part. Oh, I'm just going to shield these guys right now when I get in here.
Shield what guys? Never mind. Got it.
That's right.
Oh! Okay. I am in the bath. It's exciting.
Here's the thing. Once you get in a bath as a grown man, when it's a tub that's maybe too tight for you, maybe not, getting out seems like it's going to be a lot more challenging than it was getting in. Like, once you slide in there, you know?
You make so many weird noises. You're like...
Right. Right.
Already it starts to cool down. Like, you can immediately feel it. It's slick. Tell you what, I think I just found the only grain of sand in this thing. And it's between my butt and the fiberglass.
This is the problem I have with baths.
Here's the thing.
This grainy thing.
Right. Everything was cleaned. She had cleaned. It was sparkling when I went in there. Nobody's been in there, like I'm telling you, forever. Nobody takes baths in my house.
Somebody's foot jam.
Then somehow.
It's still there.
There's one piece of sand in there. Did that come off of my body? I don't know. But now I'm feeling its grit.
Yuck.
It's like 80 grit sandpaper. I'm feeling it on my butt.
Scrub. Maybe that's what that is. It's like going to the beach and it being in your swimsuit. I don't know. Already knowing that grain of sand is in here tells me that I'm not as keen as I would be as if I was in the shower. I don't think I'm going to be a bathtub convert.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be either. What's nastier, the grain, that little grain of sand that you don't know where it came from,
right,
or the hair that all of a sudden floats out of nowhere that you probably came out of the drain?
Right, and it's not your hair.
No!
Right? It's always one of my wife's long hairs.
Yes.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
It's nasty. Sorry, we tried. You're not going to convert us. If you're driving right now, look at your hands. Where are they on the steering wheel? How you maneuver your steering wheel actually says a lot about your personality. You're going to find out if you're a perfectionist or an anarchist. And it's coming up in 10 minutes with Anna and Raven. The way you hold your steering wheel actually says a lot about your personality, according to a personality expert.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that was a real person. But all right. How should I be holding my steering wheel?
Well, actually, there's no right or wrong way. It's Anna and Raven. It's more of how you do it says just a lot about you. I was paying attention yesterday to myself after I read this because I was like, let me see where I am. And what I noticed is that I always move my hands. Like, they start on the bottom.
Right.
But then sometimes they're on the side.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's just one hand. Sometimes it's no hand.
Right.
You know, I'm just kind of like, I don't know.
It used to be that they would say go with one hand, I think, because it was easier to be steady on the wheel. You wouldn't be moving it as much. But now with I know that with airbags and stuff, like 10 and 2 is where you're supposed to be, right?
No.
Or 9 and 3 now? And what so is it?
They keep changing it. It used to be 10 and 2. And that's what they always taught you at driving school when we were younger. But now they don't teach that anymore. Now they teach 9 and 3.
Right. 9 and 3 is what it is now. And again, I think it's about airbags, isn't it? Something like that?
I think you made that up. But anyway.
I'm telling you.
If you still have 10 and 2 right now on your steering wheel, look down at your steering wheel.
Right.
That means that you play by the rules and you're a perfectionist. You're one of those people that's what you were told. That's what you're going to do. You are a perfectionist, 10 and 2 on the wheel.
Okay.
9 and 3.
9 and 3 means what? Okay, wait a minute. What does this mean?
You're anxious person, but you're very thorough.
I mean, isn't that the same thing as the 10 and 2 person? You play by the rules?
No. This person is anxious. Like, they need some meds to, like, calm them down a little
meds?
Bit.
Meds? Yeah. No, I don't think that's advisable.
Yeah.
Okay.
How do you hold yours?
Well, I rotate like you as well. So as seats have gotten more comfortable in cars, too, and you've got more ways that you lean and pivot your seat,
mm-hmm.
you're further back from the steering wheel, even with the tilt. So I'm typically, I was a one-hander. For a long time.
Okay, so one hand on the bottom of the wheel or the top of the wheel?
Top of the wheel, typically.
Okay, so if you have one hand at the top of the wheel,
yeah.
you're relaxed and you like to project confidence. I see that.
Okay.
That makes sense to me.
Right.
Oh, this is legit. This is science.
What if you have one hand on the bottom? What is that? Because sometimes I'll do that if my arm is tired.
Well, that means you're a minimalist who likes to keep things simple.
Okay. I mean, these all feel really general and vague. I feel like I could be any one of these people at one time or another. Is that good or bad?
Well, these are the two kinds of people...
That you don't want to be?
Like, you don't want to be in a car with these people.
Okay, who are these people that definitely, if I see their hands go to this part of the steering wheel, I'm getting right out of the... I might jump out the window, frankly.
If there's the one person, and if I ever saw this, I'd be like, oh, no, somebody take that person's license away.
Yeah.
That they drive with their hand in the middle of the wheel, just one hand, like the middle part.
Oh, no. And then they're doing it all with the wrist there after grabbing the emblem. No, that doesn't work.
That is a thrill seeker who lives life to the fullest.
No, I would say that is not a smart person.
That is somebody that wants to crash their car.
Right, right. Yeah. That's clearly YOLO.
And the one other person I certainly don't want to be in the car with, the one hand on the horn person, that they drive always with one hand on the horn.
Yeah.
Because that probably means that you're bossy and that you're really busy, but you're also reliable. I don't think so. If you're driving with one hand on the horn, there's something wrong.
Yeah. You're just keeping too close an eye on everybody else to see what everybody else is doing. So you can just let them know that you're better than them.
Yeah.
There's probably a better way to do that, not in your vehicle, that's safer.
Yeah, all we care about is that you drive safely. I don't care where you hold the wheel.
I mean, you should see me with my knees. I'm amazing.
Yeah. Coming up next, couples court. If your daughters didn't get along and you came up with this solution, would you be crossing the line? You'll get the whole story next with Anna and Raven.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every weekday morning, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Margaret and Ben. Margaret, let's start with you. What's going on?
We have two daughters in their early 20s, 22 and 26, and they're not speaking to each other. This has been going on for like a while. They had a blowout about a year ago regarding a mutual friend, and it's just gotten worse from there. So I want to tell each of them that the other one is not coming for Thanksgiving and trick them so that both of them will come. And then I can, you know, hold a little intervention and try to kind of fix the problem.
Sure.
So they don't live at home, either of them?
No. Yeah, okay. No, they're both in college.
And so. Dad, you don't think that's a good idea?
No, I think the missus is being overly dramatic. I mean, they're both adults. They should be able to make their own decision.
Yeah. On the other hand, family, you know, one of those things, it gets easier to kind of let a problem grow to be a problem sometimes, too. There's something to be said about that. Mom, I support you.
I think it's tough as a parent when you see your children as adults not getting along.
Sure.
I think that's got to be heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially with everything that's going on right now. You know, I really want them both home.
So, Ben, you think that if you tell them that, then you just let them make their own decision, do you think they'll both come?
I don't see why they wouldn't show up. I mean, we are their parents, of course. You know, they should be there for Thanksgiving, bring themselves in, and see what happens.
I mean, if you didn't speak to your sister for over a year, are you really going to show up to Thanksgiving? I don't know.
I mean,
maybe.
I always would. There's no time when I wouldn't feel welcome in my parents' home. But, right, it's difficult to say. If you're not there in the middle of that fight and you don't know how strongly one is tied to it, then, yeah, sometimes you don't know until that moment. But then that's why you do the surprise! Gotcha!
Mm.
Well, what we do is ask our audience what they think, and they may agree with Margaret. Maybe keeping it a surprise that the other one is coming is a good idea. It's a good chance to kind of trap them both in there and try to use your motherly ways to make them make up. And they may see Ben's side, too. It's just going to backfire in your face. And what happens if one pulls up and sees the other one's car and they don't come in? And does it make matters even worse that people, mom lied?
People don't like to feel like they're being lied to. That's true. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Margaret and Ben have two adult daughters. One is 22, the other is 26. They got into a huge fight about a year ago. They no longer speak. Margaret desperately wants them both over for Thanksgiving and wants to stage an intervention. She wants to lie and tell each of them that the other is not coming, so they both show up. Ben thinks this is a bad idea.
Ben says you can't lie to them. Plus, we've got no reason to believe that they're not actually going to come. Hasn't been a holiday that they were both invited since that argument. Fights among siblings, though. Petty. I understand Mom's point that she wants to get this whole thing resolved, but maybe she's going about it the wrong way.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
I'm on the dad's side. Like you said, people don't want to be lied to. Now, they already have tensions, and we don't even know the whole story. Because of that, it's really important that the mom keeps the honesty going, because that's just going to create more animosity. Oh, mom's a liar. Now we have problems. Our parents are pulling us apart. And I don't think the holiday is the right time either. You want to do this intervention, you should do it on another day.
I don't know how, as a parent, though, you stay out of it when your kids are fighting. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't either.
Like, I think I basically both tell them, that's it. Straighten it out right now. I'm not hearing this nonsense.
Right, but what do you do when they don't?
I smack their butts.
Oh, yeah. That's
even
it.
At 30.
Yeah. And on Raven, whose side are you on?
Hi, I'm kind of on the wife's side of it. Because, I mean, I'm one of four siblings in my family, and we're kind of like all divided together. And same with my mother's family. But it's not a matter of, you know, you hating each other. As long as the family's there together, and you can be there just for your family on Thanksgiving. You don't have to talk to each other, but that's my point of view is my siblings don't get along too well, and none of us do. But I'll go to my parents' house for them, and I'll put on a smile even if I don't talk to my other siblings.
Right. That's your job. Good boy. Good son.
Yeah, just fake it. Hi, Dan on Raven. Whose side are you on this morning?
I'm on the side of the father. I believe that if they're adults, they need to be able to make their own decisions, or you only add fuel to the fire.
I think you make a good point. I think the mother has to plead with them, say, you know, I love you girls so much. This breaks my heart. Please, will you come? Will you try to work this out? And I think that's all you can really do is just keep your fingers crossed.
Yeah, you could beg, or again, you could show them the knee and put them right over it.
Right.
It's on.
No.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Ben, our audience agreed with you this morning. Lying to them isn't going to solve anything. And what happens when one shows up and sees the other one's car and they don't come in? You know, you might as well just be honest, Margaret, and keep your fingers crossed. Or just say, I want you both there and I want to talk to you both at the same time and demand it. You're the mom.
Oh, boy. It's just so hard to get them to come home anyway nowadays. You know, I just really, really, I mean, I guess I can try to tell them that it's really important to me and see, but they're young, you know, it's tough.
Right. Well, everybody's idealistic when you're young, right? So just, you know, it's not a time for more pride, though. Let me dig in and see how much I can upset my parents right around the holidays. It's kind of this year's been enough. Appeal to their side of that. It's been enough.
Yes. Yeah, I will.
If you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Allie.
Allie, you're up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure. Good luck, Allie.
All right, Allie. You've got a lot of money on the line, $3,400. I'm going to ask you five pop culture questions. You have about 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring Raven back in and ask him the same five questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. You got to beat him. You can't tie him. You ready to go?
Ready.
Number one, Evander Holyfield claims that Mike Tyson is avoiding him since he's challenged him to a rematch. What body part did Tyson bite a chunk out of during their 1997 matchup?
Earlobe.
Number two, Matthew Broderick almost didn't do Ferris Bueller's Day Off, but his agent convinced him to take the role. Ferris took the day off to hang out in what city?
Chicago. Chicago.
Number three, Miss USA 2020 was named yesterday, and it was Miss Mississippi. What is the capital of Mississippi? Time's up. Number four, Dancing with the Stars is back last night. They regularly have theme nights. What was last night's theme?
Veterans Day.
Number five, Al Roker thanked his fans for their support after announcing his prostate cancer diagnosis. Al Roker is a weatherman for what show?
Good Morning America.
All right, Allie, let me bring Raven back in. Oh, my gosh.
Yo!
Okay, Allie got 2 out of 5.
Oh, Allie, I mean, $3,400. I'm sorry. Right. It's almost embarrassing. All right, let's see how I do.
Be nice, Raven.
I'm just saying.
I'm going to give away this money.
All right.
Number one, Evander Holyfield claims that Mike Tyson is avoiding him since he's challenged him to a rematch.
Don't do it, Evander.
What body part did Tyson bite a chunk out of during their 1997 matchup?
Took a piece of his earlobe.
That's right. Number two, Matthew Broderick almost didn't do Ferris Bueller's Day Off, but his agent convinced him to take the role. Mm. Ferris took the day off to hang out in what city?
Chicago, of course. Donkashane, one of the best movies ever.
Number three, Miss USA 2020 was named yesterday, and it was Miss Mississippi. What is the capital of Mississippi?
Oh, gosh. Baylor.
Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number four, Dancing with the Stars back last night. They regularly have theme nights. What was last night's theme?
No idea. I'm just going to guess 80s?
Icons night.
Okay.
And number five.
These are tricky.
Yeah. No, I just needed somebody to get them right.
Okay.
Yep. Feeling a little disheartened. Number five, Al Roker thanked his fans for their support after announcing his prostate cancer diagnosis.
Yeah.
Al Roker is a weatherman for what show?
The Today Show.
Right. I'm sorry, Allie. He beat you 3-2.
Mm.
I did my best, Allie. I really, really did.
I did too. It's Allie, and I can't beat Raven.
Well, thank you for trying, Allie. We're going to hook you up in the Anna and Raven t-shirt. Hold on.
Well, your best effort is all we can really ask. Better luck next time. More money in the pot for tomorrow. $3,500. Doesn't that just sound amazing?
Gosh, I just need somebody to get more right than he gets right.
That's how winning happens.
Yeah.
Get the cheat sheet today, noon and 5:30, and it'll give you the first two answers right here.
Right.